When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Greeny with Mike Greenberg, the podcast.
All right, Greeny with you, presented by Progressive Insurance, live as always above the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17. Hashtag crew assembled around us here. So many interesting things going on. We kind of went nuts this morning on the Rodgers thing. I want to very quickly just clean up something, not clean up, but expand on a quick thought that we had at the end of our previous hour. And that is that the NBA has given, in its collective bargaining agreement, guidance to people like me. I'm a voter for postseason NBA awards. This will be my second year doing it. I consider it a great honor. I take it really seriously. I love voting. And I put every ounce of energy I have into voting in a way that I think is right. And in the new collective bargaining agreement, one of the things that jumped out to me was they put guidelines in there for things like MVP voting, and all NBA voting. So there's a first, second, and third all NBA team. And that matters to the players because a lot of them have significant amounts of money tied into being on one of those teams. And the NBA has given me guidance. Those players have to play in 65 games in order to get votes for that. Whether I think that's enough or not, notwithstanding, because they had to come to some agreement with the union on that, and everyone had to feel good about it. But they've given me guidance, because I will tell you, one of the things I was agonizing over was how much attention should I pay to how many games a player played when I make these decisions. Well, now I don't have to agonize over that anymore. To me, they've given me my answer. It is very simple. If they've played 65, then I just take into account their season. If they played less than 65, I can't vote for them anyway. But I will not gauge a difference between 66 and 70. The NBA has given me a guideline. This is my map. And I love that about them. And it's what baseball has never really done for their writers when they try and decide how they have just given the Baseball Writers Association of America, I was about to say carte blanche, but in some ways they've just sort of left this decision to them how to handle the steroid guys.
Yeah, the Hall of Fame has been almost purposely ambiguous when it comes to how to handle the steroid era. And that makes voting for the Hall of Fame almost impossible. That is the most common complaint that you'll hear from voters. So for the NBA to do this, to peg that number, to collectively bargain that with the Players Association, I think is a perfect microcosm of the strength of the relationship between the two and how much that matters for the league.
All right. So I like that a lot. And I think that was an interesting one. And my thanks to the NBA for making my life a little bit less stressful as we work forward. I brought up an interesting question earlier today. It came up sort of organically, but I liked it. And it is, how close a relation or relationship would you have to have with someone in order for that person to somehow become involved in your arch rival team and you to root for them? And this came up because Bubba hates UConn, has always hated, grew up in the heart of UConn country as a fan of Duke. And so he's always hated UConn. But the Hurley family, specifically Bobby Hurley, was the reason he became a Duke fan. He loves the Hurley family. And with Danny Hurley as their coach, I asked, did you root for them because you love Danny, even though you hate UConn? So for those who are just joining us, did you root for them last night?
No, I still couldn't root for them, no.
Okay, so that's fair. But Danny Hurley is someone you admire, but
yeah,
he's not your friend.
I was happy for Danny, but
he's not your brother.
I still would have preferred San Diego State won by far.
So I brought up, how close a relation would someone have to be? Like, Kembo, you hate a lot of teams. Your favorite team is the Phillies. Mm-hmm. Which baseball team do you hate the most? The Mets? The Braves?
The Braves, because they were so dominant during their division run. But the team that I hate the most, like him, is the Dallas Cowboys.
Oh, Dallas Cowboys. So if someday your little daughter, Michelle Hambakitis, should become a front office executive of the Dallas Cowboys, she's working. By that day and age, there'll be women who are general managers. She has a high-ranking position with the Dallas Cowboys. Will you root for them to win the Super Bowl?
I will root for them in every game in which they do not play the Eagles.
So you would root for the Eagles ahead of your daughter?
Correct. I mean, I'm Cam, are you surprised by this stance? I mean, you're from where I'm from.
No, that's very respectable.
That's the line in the sand to draw, for sure.
It's a complicated one. I've got a great tweet here from, let me reload it here. This is from Vandra McQuarrie, who tweets, Greeny, you call yourself a Jets fan. If my only son were to be drafted by the Montreal Canadiens, who I loathe, he would not be welcome at my dinner table until he demanded a trade. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. Hashtag Leafs forever.
It's not true.
I like it.
It's not. I would question the veracity of her claim.
It is true. And I will tell you the most famous example of it. And he confirmed this and told this story on our show. Back on Mike and Mike. Chris Spielman. Legendary linebacker, legendary Ohio State linebacker. His father was a high school football coaching legend in the state of Ohio. And when growing up, Chris Spielman wanted to go to Michigan. And his father said, you traitor, I'll tell you where you're going. You're going right down 71 South and you're going to play for the Ohio State Buckeyes. You better not go to Michigan. Don't ever come home if you do. I kind of love it. And that's what I'll tell you. Like, my line of demarcation is Stevie. Now let's go a different direction. Here's an interesting one. You're a married man. I just met your father-in-law. Lovely man. From what I can tell, not a football coach.
Not a football coach.
But let's just say you had met the former Elizabeth Edwards. To me, in my contacts, you'll always be Elizabeth Edwards, because I knew her before you married her. And her father, let's just say for the sake of this discussion, her name was Elizabeth McCarthy, and her father was Mike McCarthy, the coach of the Dallas Cowboys.
Oh, no.
You're married to the daughter of the coach of the Dallas Cowboys. Would you root for the Cowboys when they played the Eagles?
No, and I would probably root against them even harder.
Do you know how badly that would go over? I mean, you have to. Do you know the suffering you would receive as a result of that decision?
You're presupposing something that just could not happen.
Which is what?
That I would marry the daughter of the Dallas Cowboys.
You're telling me, and you're saying out loud right now on the radio so that anyone, including her, could hear it, that if Lizzie's father was the coach of the Dallas Cowboys, you would not have married her.
100%.
Wow.
Are you kidding me?
That's good for you, Hembo.
That's a statement.
You did marry a Giants fan.
That's true, too.
Their family is so dyed-in-the-wool Giants. Yeah.
Let's not act like you're all of a sudden
No, two things. The Cowboys are definitively different than the Giants.
Okay. I'll grant you that.
I rooted for the Giants to beat Minnesota so that the Eagles could destroy the Giants and I could gain that satisfaction. That's where we are.
Good job.
That's where we are.
You buying this, Bubs?
What do you think, I'm just talking tough here?
Well, here's the thing. I'm a married man. Hembo's a married man. You two guys, Bubba and Cam, you're unmarried. Cam, you're young, and I think you're actually a fairly desirable catch. Like, you're a good-looking kid, and I think you have a future ahead of you. You look exactly like, well, you look like a combination of one of the Jonas Brothers, and I'm going to give you a very old reference you probably won't know. There was a very famous DJ named Wolfman Jack, and you look a little bit like him, too.
Clip this.
Do you ever get that? Do people tell you you look like Wolfman Jack?
Every other day, yeah.
Okay, yeah, you look like Wolfman Jack, but that... that aside, you could be a fairly desirable catch.
Thanks.
So are you telling me that you will eliminate from your potential marrying pool any woman who is directly connected to the Cowboys?
How many women are there that are that directly connected?
Lots. Plenty. Tons. How about if she's a diehard Cowboys fan? Would you marry a Cowboys fan?
I think, you know, if it were like true love, maybe.
If she tells you she
billions
wants...
of women in the world, Greeny, not all of them are connected to the Cowboys.
I'm naming the ones who are. What if she tells you she wants Roger Staubach to perform the ceremony?
By the time I get married, I don't know if Roger's going to be around.
Terrible thing to say.
That was not the right thing to say.
About a great human being, a great man in Roger Staubach, who I love, served our country. You're killing Roger Staubach?
It's more a comment
with
how long from now I'm going to get married.
Okay, I'll change it. Just to get you off the hook.
Be careful.
What if she wants Tony Romo to perform the ceremony?
I'd have to say, can we find someone else?
I hope I can go to
that. You could fumble the snap.
I hope I can go to that. Well, that's a good line from Bubs, who's a great Crazy Cowboy fan. I'll tell you, I mean, I have a little bit of this experience. So my wife is from Chicago, and at the time that we were dating and first becoming a pretty serious couple was the height of the rivalry between the Knicks and the Bulls. And my wife will tell you to this day that whenever she was with my parents, who did accept her, despite the fact that my parents were insane Knicks fans. My parents owned a store, and they had a Go New York, Go New York, Go sign in the window. My father was a season ticket holder my whole life, lived and died with the Knicks. And I've told you, he once said, if the Knicks got Michael Jordan, he would give up his tickets. That's the kind of fan my dad was. So if you ask Stace to this day, what do you remember the most about Arnie? She will say, every time we brought up the Bulls, he would point out that Michael Jordan pushes off every time he gets the ball. So he loved Stace, and he could not have been sweeter to her and nicer and welcomed her into our family. But he never stopped. He was like, do you know what? She'll be like, yeah, we're going to the Bulls game next week. Michael Jordan pushes off every time he gets the ball. This was my dad. So he got in his digs, but in the end, it didn't bother him that much. Or it didn't bother him enough that he like tried to dissuade me from marrying her or anything like that. He didn't refuse to come to the wedding. So one way or another, I think it is a good topic. It's like the sleeping with the enemy kind of topic, and I like it.
Literally.
In the meantime, we have a ton of questions that are coming in about the book, which I'm looking forward to. Again, use the hashtag #GotYourNumber. We thank you, thank you, thank you for all the good response we're getting. Today is the day the book is available in every store in America. If you find a store that doesn't have it, please let us know. Tweet at us using the hashtag #GotYourNumber.
Got a couple questions for you.
Give me one quickie. I'll take it. We'll come back and do more.
How hard was number 12 for you?
No, number 12 was easy. Look, I don't mind. There were some of them I don't mind giving away. Number 12 was the inspiration for the book. The whole book came about because we had this conversation about how many Hall of Fame quarterbacks wore number 12, beginning with Namath. And I think Namath was one of the reasons that all these other quarterbacks wanted to wear number 12. But Bradshaw, Staubach, Bob Greasy, Jim Kelly, and eventually Brady and Rogers. My favorite number 12 will always be Joe Namath. But if you're going to name who owns the number 12, it's Brady. Mm. If you don't give it to him, then the book is discredited. I mean, we want this book to be sort of the book of record when it comes to the historical significance of these players. So keep those questions coming in. I got a good one about active players that I can respond to as well. The hashtag is #GotYourNumber, and we're rolling on a big day. It's a Tuesday. It's Greeny on ESPN Radio. For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Greeny, the podcast.
All right, numbers are the topic of the day for us. We roll along here. Greeny presented by Progressive Insurance. Our book, Got Your Number, is in stores right now. It's available online right now. And as today is our publication date, which is a really big day in a person's life. I'll just take a moment to say this. For Hembo, this is the first experience you've had of this kind. I hope it won't be the last. For me, I'm a kid who grew up around books. My parents were writers and owned a small independent bookstore in New York City pretty much my entire childhood, and I worked there every summer, I want to say 5 or 6 years in a row. And so all I ever dreamt of was writing a book and having it be in a bookstore. And so for me, this is my sixth time doing it. But it's something you should one must never take for granted. Like, no one is promised this. People dream of writing books, and most people never get the chance to see them published. So I'm endlessly grateful, whether 10 people or 10 million people buy it. I'm endlessly grateful that it exists and that it's out there. And I really hope this will be a new direction for me. You know, through my life, I've tried to write novels and I've tried to write different things. And I don't plan to stop doing that. That is still my dream. But I do think I've come to the realization that this is what people want from me. Like, if you're going to buy a book by me, you want me giving you the definitive take on sports. I think this is the right lane for me to be in. And I got the right person alongside me to do it with me, which is Hembo, because the research is outstanding. So the book is called Got Your Number, and it is available now anywhere you get your books. Let us know if you cannot get it. Use the hashtag Got Your Number. We got a very good question using the hashtag Got Your Number that I liked as well. Someone asked, how did we handle active athletes? And I can, off the top of my head, I could think of two that are in the book. Steph Curry is in the book and Kevin Durant is in the book, right? Are there others?
84.
84 is LeBron. Okay, so yeah, Steph, LeBron, and KD, sorry, are all in the book. And if there are any others, here's what we did. You will find in the book, it says, all statistics, because there's a million stats and records and facts and figures in the book. They are all official or effective as of a certain date, whatever date we chose.
Well, it was
when we had to turn it in. Mm-hmm. Serena Williams was still an active player when we wrote it, for example. It was before her retirement. So we gave a date by which all of the stats are relevant to that point. So, for example, if you were to buy the book right now, you know, Kevin Durant's total points and Steph Curry's total points and all that are not the same because we couldn't take into account this season.
But in Steph's case, I want to say that we included everything through the end of last season, right? Wasn't that number, wasn't that the last
one? It was the last one we did. One we did was Steph 30 because we were waiting to see if he won the championship. That felt incredibly relevant. So actually, that's exactly right. We had to turn the book in right after that. We actually asked for a pushback. We said they wanted the book by a certain date, and I said, can we wait till after the finals, because to write this chapter on Steph, who was going to be that number anyway, mm-hmm. but to write it without being able to point out that he won a fourth championship, and as it turned out, he was the MVP of that series, it would have felt incomplete. So they let us do that. So that was the last one that we did. So anyway, that's one of the many questions that we're getting, and we appreciate it. You can tweet them at us using the hashtag GotYourNumber. I am also seeing a lot of Twitter reaction here to our question of the day that came up organically. And mostly people are just really down on Bubba. And Bubba, what? I will point out again that whether you think you have legitimate reasons to or not, if you are a person whose favorite teams are the Cowboys,
yeah,
Duke, and there's one more. What is the other one? Oh, the Boston Celtics.
Well, no, the Mets. Or...
Well, I get the Mets. The Mets maybe don't fall in this category.
Yeah, well, go. So now it doesn't help your narrative.
My narrative is that your favorite teams are all the bandwagon teams. Like, well, I'm just stunned you're not a Laker fan. I assume that, you know, you go crazy over, I don't know, Man U or whatever.
Trinity the, Squash.
The popular.
Yeah, the local team. I enjoy them.
You are. One could accuse you of being a bandwagon jumping fan.
I mean, of course they could. But again, once you have valid reasons for all of them and all I can do is pick a team and stick with them. So I've been with the team since I first rooted for sports. And again, I just mentioned the Mets. That's conveniently not part of your narrative, I've noticed, because the Mets are known for collapsing and being terrible and the butt of everyone's jokes. And I've been a Mets fan since the 90s, and it's just been miserable the entire time.
Yeah,
and
because you don't even remember 86.
That's your cover. Yeah, exactly. That's your cover.
And you can talk about the Cowboys. Yes, I saw three Super Bowls. I was 11 by their last one. Since then, it's been also misery.
No, but the Cowboys are a bandwagon team anyway. So
I understand
so
that.
Here's what I will tell you.
I didn't pick them because they were winning Super Bowls. I picked them because my dad was a Cowboys fan.
Here's what I will say. And that obviously is a justifiable reason, though it still kind of stinks to
and
high heaven.
And I stuck with them the entire time. I'm not jumping off the so-called bandwagon.
Long-suffering Cowboys.
Yes, exactly. Must be painful. Here's what I'll say. When I was a kid growing up
in New
York,
it's pretty painful.
Here's why everyone hates the Cowboy fan. Because when I was growing up in New York in the 70s, there were three teams that people rooted for. There were Giant fans, there were Jet fans, and there were Cowboy fans. Sure. That's just the way it was. And I was a Jet fan, of course. I didn't mind the Giant fans. I hated the Cowboy fan.
I mean, I get it. I understand.
How the hell are you a Cowboy fan? You grew up on McDougal Street, for crying out loud. But you're from the Bronx. Why are you wearing a Tony Dorsett jersey? And, you know, in my youth, the Cowboys were great. That was the Staubach, Dorsett, Drew Pearson, Golden Richards, Tom Landry, Too Tall Jones, all that stuff. Quick Too Tall Jones story. My best friend is named Simon, and he and I were at a Knick game one time. And in those days, you could buy tickets to a Knick game if you went to school. If you could provide identification that proved you went to school of any kind, tickets in the upstairs, which is with the blue seats, which was called the Blue Heaven, tickets there were $6 for anybody. It was 50% off if you could prove that you had that you were a student. So we would walk up at game time and we would buy $3 tickets to sit in the blues. The first quarter, we didn't even watch the game. All we did was scout out the seats that were available down near the court. Then at the end of the first quarter, we sent my brother, who was the youngest of us. He was 4 years younger than me and cute. So no one is going to throw him out. No usher is going to run a kid who's like, you know, 9 years old. So we'd send him down there. He'd sit down there. Then we'd wait a little appropriate amount of time, and then we'd sit down there. So for $3, I'm sitting like two rows away from the court. That's how I grew up watching basketball. In this day and age, those tickets are thousands of dollars. I would go for $3. So anyway, 1 year, Too Tall Jones is sitting on what is now called Celebrity Row. At that point, it was just seats. Too Tall Jones is there. We recognize him. So my friend Simon says, I'm going to go over and get his autograph. So he goes over. I can see him talking to him for a second, and he walks back to me, and I said, did you get his autograph? And he says to me, yeah, but no one will ever believe it. And he shows me the piece of paper, and he just wrote, too tall. That's all he wrote. He had a piece of paper that said too tall on it. Literally anyone on planet Earth could have written the words too tall on a piece of paper and claimed it was Ed Too Tall Jones's autograph. So that's a true story. So anyway, the Cowboys, to circle it all the way back, Bubba, really do seem to demonstrate some lack of character in you. I'm willing to give you the benefit of the doubt because you got it passed down from your father, and I'll give that to anybody. But others, I think, are not going to be as kind.
Yeah, again, I mean, I get it. I understand from the outside looking in, and it's not the best group of teams to, you know, I get why people say it.
I think
sure.
The Duke one is worse.
Duke is the ultimate bandwagon team. Ultimate bandwagon. It's not like if you root for Duke and you didn't go to Duke, you're a terrible
person.
It's
not like Dan Hurley was your babysitter. Like, how close is this connection?
Yeah. Well, it's Bobby Hurley, but
But Dan Hurley is the coach that started this whole conversation.
Well, right, but it's Bobby Hurley went to Duke. Right. I don't know what he's talking about. But,
right.
No, it's because my family grew up in Jersey City, and they knew the Hurley family also in Jersey City. So when I was literally 6 years old watching college basketball for the first time, like the Leitner game was one of the first games I remember watching, my parents were like, we know that kid on the team, Bobby Hurley. Like, they remember him. Like, my grandfather was Bob Hurley Sr.'s T-ball coach. Mm. Like, I'm not trying to say like we're best friends with the family, but like my uncle is Bobby Hurley's uncle's really close friend. Like,
did your parents recount to you the legendary time he got the runs during the national championship game? Like, is that one of the first stories you remember hearing?
I was watching that. Oh yeah, I mean,
that was the year before. That was UNLV, right? That was before the Leitner game.
So I mean, I guess I remember being told about. Yeah, I mean, I was aware of it.
I'm aware of it for sure.
So either way, so
you had lunch together once with Bobby Hurley, and that shaped your fandom. But you would not marry someone if your wife rooted for the Atlanta Braves. You would ask for a divorce, is what you're telling me. So lunch is more important than marriage.
What lunch? What are you talking about lunch?
Didn't you just say that he had lunch with him?
I'm just saying that Bubba's connection is...
The connection is not as strong.
Yeah, it's a little...
What do you mean it's not as strong? When you're 6 years old and someone tells you, we know that person,
If you had a son and your son was playing for UConn, would you root for them against Duke in the championship game?
I literally didn't apply to UConn because I hate him so much.
That's not the answer. This is your
son.
I don't know.
I don't have a son. Right now, I would assume I would go with no.
He's so defensive.
I would go with no.
But I don't know what it's like to have a child.
You would root against your son in the national championship game.
Based on what everyone says, it sounds like you would have a different opinion based on your
Cowboys. Or Bubba Jr. is really going to be neglected here.
Yeah, I stand to, you know.
It's a little I, Bubba.
I hold my ground on my my teams here.
It'll be Little Bubba, like L-I-L Bubba.
I don't understand what's so difficult to understand when you pick a team when you're six and you stick with them.
Let me go to a break.
Greeny, the podcast. Greeny with Mike Greenberg.
Everyone in America, just so if you're listening to me right now, I love you and I appreciate all of the support that you have given me through my life and my career, and I want to give back in any way I can. But if you have a baby, I don't want to hold it. If you walk up to me in Madison Square Park later today when I'm walking around, oh, Greeny, look, I had a baby. I don't want to hold it. I'm not holding anybody. I've held all the babies I need to hold. Why is that funny?
Because someday you'll maybe have a grandbaby.
That means I have to hold it.
This is Greeny.
Greeny with you on ESPN Radio. The free AutoZone Fix Finder service can help troubleshoot the likely cause of your pesky check engine light for free and help you save time and money down the road. Restrictions apply. Get in the zone with AutoZone. I think that mine is probably an opinion on that subject or a feeling on that subject that is commonly held. There are two things that I don't love nearly as much as some other people do. I think most people actually are on my side of this, but they think it's impolite to say so. So there are two things I like a lot less than you do, and they are your baby and your dog. I love my babies, or when they were babies, I loved them. Now they're older people than that, and I love them even more. And I love my dog. Stace loves everyone's dog. We can't walk down the street. You think people stop me in the street? No, no, no. My wife stops everyone in the street that has a dog. And she wants to talk. And can I pet him? And is it this? And what kind of a breed? And oh, we have this. And we're talking. We are sidetracked. I have to build in. If we're walking somewhere, I've got to build in like an extra 15 minutes for all the dogs we're going to stop and see. And she always gets mad at me that I'm not interested. Now, I love Phoebe. You saw Phoebe's the other day. I love that dog. She's my dog. I love her as much as I've ever loved anything in my life. But she is the only dog about whom I feel that way. And I think a lot of people feel that way, meaning I love my dog, but not yours. I love my babies, but not yours. I don't dislike your babies. I'm just not that interested in them. Tons of people have babies. I don't need to be excited about yours. So I think a lot of people feel that way and just aren't willing to say it. That's what separates me.
The issue I had with you is not how eager you were to see the baby or how happy you were to have my babies in your presence. It was the fact that it appeared to me that you have never previously held one. Which cannot be true because you have two kids of your own.
I'm a little out of practice. I haven't held a baby in a long time. And I was given the baby, here was one of the many problems. I was given the baby facing the wrong way. Someone handed me the baby facing away from me. So the only way you can hold that baby is to get up underneath the armpits, and now you're kind of just holding it out. Like, you can't press that baby into your chest when it's facing in the other direction for fear you will squash its esophagus or something. Normally, you hold the baby facing you. You got some sort of a cloth over your shoulder so the baby doesn't, spit up or snot all over your clothes.
Snot.
And that's the way I remember holding babies. I mean, it's been a long time. Yours, I was kind of holding up I was just kind of picking it up to keep it from getting run over by a bowling ball.
We were taking a photograph. So
right.
We wanted the baby's face to be facing the
Understood.
Camera.
But I'm explaining my discomfort with it. I'm not saying anyone did anything wrong. And I don't get me wrong. I liked your babies. I enjoyed them very much. I actually found myself particularly drawn to the other one. Like, Michelle cried the second you gave me to her, or gave her to me. When you gave me the other one, she seemed happy as a clam.
Well, that's because Michelle could sense your discomfort.
I think we need to switch them. I think Michelle needs to become the other one, and the other one needs to become Michelle.
That's a tough call. We're 7 months in.
That's not very long.
Again, I told you, it happened to my friend 1 year in. You got time.
And how long? And so what your
what
friend.
Is the backstory here?
Was it a son or a daughter?
Are these the Hurleys?
A son.
Is this Dan and Bobby?
Were these the Hurleys?
They were originally, yeah.
Dan's original name was Steven.
Okay, no. What was the original name of the kid?
Jason Andrew Edward.
And then, meaning Edward is the last name?
No, he had two middle names.
They gave him three names?
Yeah.
God.
Okay, Jason Andrew Edward, Finkelstein, whatever the last name was.
Right.
And then what did they change it to?
They dropped the Jason and just went Andrew Edward.
That is insane.
So for all intents and purposes, the kid went from being Jason to being Andrew.
Correct.
At what age?
after 1 year.
And how is that kid how has his development been? Is he fairly well adjusted?
Yeah, I'd say he's good. Although once we found out he used to be called Jason, I exclusively call him Jason now. So
is that right?
Yeah,
you would.
So So once you find out about that, although it's probably different for guys, I don't think it's going to happen to girls. But yeah, but again, obviously he had no idea about it. They had to tell him. But
no, in this case, we'd have to keep it a secret. Like we could never tell Michelle. What is the other one's name?
Charlotte.
We could never tell them that we switched them, that we switched their names. Like they would have to live their whole lives believing they had always had that name.
I'm not using Bubba's friend Jason Andrew Edward as our blueprint. I'm not doing that.
I'm telling you, it just worked a year in.
In our case, it applies to two people. It doesn't sound like it worked because you mocked him from then until now because of it.
Well, I was around high school when he found out, and yeah, I mean, I didn't necessarily mock him. I just called him Jason.
That's mocking.
It's mocking.
There is a touch of mockery
it's
involved
sinister.
When you consider the potential sensitivity he may have.
Well, if anything, we're mocking is the parents for changing the name. So
no, I don't think so.
He's wearing it though.
His parents made a decision they felt good about. You're mocking the son. No. That's who you're mocking. You're mocking Jason, not Edward Anthony or whatever you said his other names were.
A lot of names.
I struggle with these things. Then the other piece of this that I think is interesting is Bubba. You like dogs, right?
Oh, yeah.
You had a dog named Hurley?
I have multiple dogs, yeah, but one was named Hurley, yeah.
And you have a dog now?
Yep.
Do you like other people's dogs? Like, if you're walking down the street and someone has a dog, do you have any interest in petting that dog?
No, I mean, no. I'm not going to go out of my way and pet it. Absolutely not, no.
And when you go to someone's house and they have a dog and they're like, look how cute the dog is, isn't your first thought, yeah, it's cute?
Yeah, I mean, if it's like literally one of my good friends and I know the dog well, I'll be in. But yeah, no, I'm not someone who's going to just run up to him and start putting. No, not a fan. I don't understand.
If you're going to sidetrack someone on their walk with their dog, you also need to have a dog with you. That's to me, that's the only way this applies.
Never happens to us. Stace will stop every dog.
Without yours, you mean?
Try this later today. It's a nice day out, right?
Very.
So whatever free time I have today, we have a bunch of book press to do, but whatever time, I just want to take a walk. It's nice outside. I just want to walk. So I'm going to be outside walking. Stace will probably be with me. If we walk by you and you have a dog, I promise we will stop and talk to you. You won't have to recognize me. You won't have to say, hey, aren't you the guy from ESPN? That will not be a problem because we will stop you and we will talk to you and your dog as long as you will let us. Like we will literally stay there until the other person uncomfortably says, well, I guess we got to get going
so
now.
What is her like stock line of questioning?
She's got I don't know. I'm trying very hard to ignore it. Mm. My wife has a lot of idiosyncrasies, all of which I obviously have grown to live with and most of which I've grown to like. Have you ever eaten dinner with my wife?
I've not.
Have you ever watched her order off a menu?
No, but you have described it a few times.
To my wife, the menu in a restaurant is a suggestion. That's it.
Like a list of ingredients?
These are just the suggested meals that we have. But literally, I've been married to her for 25 years. We've been together 27 years. She has never once ordered anything the way it comes.
Like the number four?
Never. No. I mean, I don't even know what do you mean? Meaning like the specials are numbered?
Yeah, like if you go to a fast food restaurant, you'll see them numbered.
A, she's never eaten in a fast food restaurant. Like literally in the 25 years we've been together, we have never been in a fast food restaurant.
Because that's where Greeny and Stacey are going. To Burger King to get the number four.
but just for example, like it is always, I'll have the chicken, but hold on. I see that you have spinach because that comes with the salmon. Can I do the spinach that comes with the salmon instead of the spring vegetables that comes with the chicken? And then instead of the mashed potatoes, can you do roasted potatoes, but no garlic on those? In fact, no garlic on anything that there may be. And that's where the conversation begins.
You just described two trips to and from the kitchen for the poor waiter.
No, that's all one discussion.
But they often have to check. I'll have to check with the chef.
Oh, no. They never check.
Oh, they're not like that?
They're just doing it.
Okay, they're just doing it. So these aren't suggestions from her. These are demands.
These are the menu is a suggestion. Her response is a demand. We have now officially defined the difference between a suggestion and a demand. The restaurant suggests you eat this. My wife demands I'm eating that. And if not, I'm eating somewhere else.
Like I'm eating at Burger King.
Yeah, I mean, or that. Look, I loved Burger King when I was a kid growing up. This is not meant to but we're old people now. Like when you're my age, you're not eating.
You haven't had fast food in 25 years.
You know, someone asked me that question the other day. What's the last time I ate? It's been a long time. Like when I first got into the business, so like in the early, more like the, no, it would have been the early 90s, mid 90s, I remember we used to make have someone make a McDonald's run when I was working at WMAQ Radio in Chicago a million years ago. And then when I went to CLTV in Chicago, the TV station, there was a Taco Bell nearby and we'd all chip in, someone would go make a run. So I would eat those a lot. So those are the two most, but since then I would say practically never, maybe not
That's
never, but close.
While.
It's a long time.
Yeah, I mean, I don't, was Cam even born then?
No. Cam, what year were you born?
97.
Yeah, if fast food has changed substantially since then, I'm
Roger
not fully
Staubach
aware of
is still
it.
A young man.
Yeah, right.
I know.
Yeah, that's right. So of all the things that happened today, Hembo and I had a book released.
Oh, my God.
Bubba had to vigorously defend rooting against UConn in the national championship game. And Cam killed Roger Staubach, one of the greatest players and greatest people. The man served our country then served a five-year commitment to the Navy after winning the Heisman and then came back and won two Super Bowls.
Cam.
And then after retiring from the NFL, has built literally a multi-billion dollar real estate business and just happens to be, if you've ever been around him, one of the most decent and respectable human beings you'll ever meet. And you today, Cam, killed him on our show for no obvious reason.
I did. It was more a comment on how long it's going to take for me to get married than anything about.
It's a terrible comment. I hope Roger Staubach lives forever.
I agree.
I hope you say single forever, Cam. That is not the attitude to have around.
That way Roger can stay alive forever.
Exactly. Well, we need Roger around. Okay. So again, just to sort of finish up, again, today is a really, really big day for us. I am so appreciative, and I know I speak for Mr. Hembo over here, when I tell you how grateful we are for all of the pre-orders that you guys made. And if you don't have a copy, today is the day. It's called Got Your Number. It is available everywhere. And again, we mean it to be the sort of the book of record on these numbers. We decide who owns the numbers 1 to 100 in sports history. And I promise you, whether you agree or disagree, and you'll certainly disagree with some of them, there will be at least once per chapter that you will read something that Hembo came up with, and you will say, wow, I did not know that. Even about the most famous people in the book, the most obvious choices, Babe Ruth, Wayne Gretzky, Michael Jordan, Tom Brady, those Jackie Robinson, we didn't have to spend a lot of time debating who's going to be number 42. But I promise you will find out things about all of them, Hembo, that they did not already know.
And the reason I can say that, and we know that for sure, is because both Greedy and I learned something new about all 100 of these chapters. And that's kind of, I kind of researched this book, and not to put words in your mouth, but I think you kind of wrote this book for people like us, for crazed sports fans who were hungry to learn about some of these legends across sports. And so if I discovered something that I did not previously know, it went on your list of things to include, and you often did.
Yeah, so it's two things. It is sports debate, because we made some decisions you might agree or disagree with. Well, you will agree or disagree with. And then whether you like or didn't like the choices you made, you will find stuff out about these athletes. So it's sports history at the same time. So thank you very much for all of that. And if you have any questions, concerns, comments, you use the we'll be following Twitter all day long. So you can use the hashtag #GotYourNumber and we will see it. I have been scrolling through them. Hembo, I know you've been scrolling through them, and the publisher will be scrolling through them as well. People are asking about the audiobook. Yes, there is an audiobook. Yes, I voiced it. It is not available yet. I believe it'll be available the first week of May. I will make sure you are aware when that will be available. So thanks again, and we'll see you back in Better Than Ever. Same time, same place tomorrow, ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to Greeny the Podcast. You can listen live each weekday morning at 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio. Or watch the show through the Watch tab on the ESPN app. Also catch Greeny on Get Up, weekday mornings at 8 on ESPN. And also available wherever you get your podcasts.